A couple of weeks back, we began to look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, where we find Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now turn to Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Knowing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the book of Revelation, we have descriptions given of Jesus, and it's found in the praise, and along with other scriptures, there are a number of places in the book of Revelation that describes him. And said in verse 8, and the four beasts, each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And what we'll be doing in these days that God gives us the time to do it, we'll be talking about the past, the present, and the future. And praise God, we have a past. And that past has been controlled by our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior. He's a creator. We looked at that in talking about Jesus the same yesterday in creating, and all power is his. He still has that same power today, and he will have it forever. The world was made by him. Jesus did everything according to the scriptures, and he'll continue to do everything according to the scriptures. We saw that the world was hateful and crucified Jesus. The world never has desired to see God or to be with God. Yet that desire is there, and they would take it and turn it to things of this earth, to animals and to humans, and trying to worship everything but God. And yet God loves us, and Jesus loves us. God loved us enough to give his only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life. Jesus loved us enough to go to the cross for our sins and was buried and raised again the third day. And so we talked about Jesus of yesterday, just briefly. And then we began to talk about, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus of today. When we think about Jesus today, we looked at Hebrews 9:24, and we're not going to turn to that tonight, but just to remind you of it. Jesus is in heaven to intercede for us. He's there before the throne of God. Satan is there to accuse us, and Jesus there to intercede for us. He's in charge. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We talked about how that Jesus promised us he would not leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit, not just to be in our presence, but to dwell in us in this dispensation, in this age, in this time. And we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, all the power, the wisdom, the comfort, the strength that we have through the Holy Spirit. And man, what a tremendous blessing it is. And then we looked at, just as it was in the past, so it is today in the present. The world is still in opposition to God. And we saw in 2 Timothy 3:13 that things are going to get worse, not going to get better. What is Jesus doing today? Jesus is in control. And we know that in the future, he's coming back. But in that, in preparation for his return, for the rapture, as well as the second coming, he told us how we could know that we're near that particular time. No one knows of the day or the hour when Jesus shall come for his bride, what we call the rapture. When he comes in the air, not in the clouds, that's 7 years later after the rapture. But in the coming of our Lord for the next event, it's for him to come and take us out. He comes as a thief in the night. It will happen quicker than you can blink your eye. But for that glorious event for us, it's a terrible event for the world. I mean, the tribulation period starts at that event. There's never been anything like it before, never be anything like it afterwards. Well, for the coming of our Lord, since we do not know the day or the hour, we find that God says there are certain events that will happen and that you can know it's near. And one of those events is a prophecy concerning Israel in the matter of Israel becoming a nation again. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. At this particular time, this prophecy was given. Israel had been scattered amongst the nations of the world. They have experienced a division in their nation. They were divided into two nations. the 10 northern tribes known as Israel, to 2 southern tribes known as Judah. And there was much division between the two nations. Yet God says, I'm going to bring you back. Now, when they were divided, then both of these divisions were taken into captivity and have been in captivity for some time when this prophecy was given. They'd been there so long, they believed a rumor that was going around. And you know, it's sad today that most people believe a rumor quicker than they'll believe the truth, and how that they'll just carry it on, and which is nothing but just an imagination of the mind. They believed the rumor that God was through with them. God wasn't going to do anything more with them. He had raised up a different group of people. Of course, that prophecy concerning the fact that we would be the bride of Christ, not the nation, but just the bride of Christ. They begin to think, well, maybe we'd replace Israel. No, we don't replace Israel. God will keep his promise. Amen? You can count on that. He promised Abraham that he'd have a great nation, and that nation rule the world. He gave assurance to that when he promised David that the king that would rule the world would come of his family, and rightly so. Even he reassured that promise when Jesus came, born of a virgin, and he talked to Mary and assured her that the child she was going to have was not of man, it was of God, and he would rule on David's throne. And yet, it didn't happen. It was not the time for it to happen. And not only did Israel wonder, well, was God through with us? Ezekiel, God gave Ezekiel a message then that we need to hear today, that God is not through with Israel. He would restore Israel and bring them back as a nation. Now, how would he do this? In Ezekiel chapter 37, we find the experience that Ezekiel had. It says, verse 1, Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, wouldn't you like to have a vision for God where he took you out to the cemetery? We want a vision from God like John had to take us to heaven and show us the glory that is there. Ezekiel had this vision, and he was taken out to a valley full of bones. And in verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. These bones had been there. It wasn't just a battle that had been fought and you had the soldiers wounded or died or killed or whatever it might be. No, these bones had been there for a long time. They were very dry. That means the animals came and ate the flesh off the bones. They were not buried. It was an open valley. The bones were scattered. The bone to each body was not still laying in the same place. One animal would drag the head off to another place. Another animal would take an arm off. Another animal would take a leg off. Another animal would have a foot somewhere else. I mean, they were scattered and all mixed up to no end. There was no way of being able to put them back together in this. Ezekiel saw this. And as he did and realized what was going on, God said something to him in verse 3. God said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel was pretty smart after all. He said, no, don't ask me. You know. You're God. And why do you have me here? What do these bones mean? Well, let's skip down to verse 11 so that you'll understand what he's talking about. In verse 11, this is not my idea. This is God's idea. In verse 11 of Ezekiel 37, then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Now we find and realize by God's word, these bones is not a dead church. And by the way, a church doesn't die. It might get sick, but it's not going to die. It's the bride of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It might lose its witness, but it's not going to die. The church is victorious in Christ. We might not be obedient, but God's church will rise at God's church with him. And this is not talking about his church. This is talking about Israel. That's God's interpretation of this. Now, you want to take it and go any way you want to, and you're going to be off in left field right quick. God says these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, let's think about that. Israel is dead as far as the people are concerned. They're scattered in other nations. They're no longer a nation. All hope is lost. Now, come back to verse 4. Again, he said to me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Oh my. From the time before Ezekiel till 1948, people after people, theologians after theologians, religious leaders after religious leaders have given their plan how to restore Israel. And they've tried their plans to no avail. Are we not still doing that with our churches today? We find our churches scattered and not doing what God wants them to do. And we've got our plans how to restore a church. We need to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. They heard, Ezekiel heard the word of the Lord. And notice now what he says in verse 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I, God. That's the summary of the whole thing. Israel's going to live again. Israel's going to be what God wants them to be by God's power. Now, how will it be done? Verse 6, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So God says, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to put your skin back on. I'm going to put your sinews, your muscles, everything about you. I'm going to bring you right back to where you were. And you'll know that I am the Lord. Now that's the summary of the prophecy. Now how will God actually do it? Look now at verse 7. So, Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, doing exactly what God told him to do. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, when we look at the summary, you'd think God would just say, all right, rise, and everything happens quickly. Whenever God gives details about a prophecy, that means it's going to happen over a number of years. Not everything's going to happen that very moment, but it will happen over a period of years. And so let's look at that for just a moment in verse 6. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and bones came together, bone to his bone. Now, by that, it wasn't a matter of finding a skull and finding a backbone and some ribs and putting them together, regardless who they belonged to. No, each bone was going to come to its own bone. There would be a definite organization that only God can do. It wouldn't just be something haphazard. It would be a definite organization. Now, before that would happen, there would be a noise and a shaking. I can just see that valley. Man, there's a head way up at the one end of the valley and the backbone's way down here, and they're going to make their way together. Wherever the arm is, it's going to make its way to that body, to the original body. There was a shaking and a movement, all of these bones coming together. It would have taken centuries for someone to try to put them all together. And God said, I'm going to bring them all together properly. There was a noise. Israel was almost forgotten. During World War II, Hitler decided he would just destroy the Israeli people. 6 million Jews were tortured horribly. And then as America got in on the scene and God led them there to find what was going on, it was noise and the world knew the condition of Israel there. What's going to happen? Well, then it said bone came to its own bone, just as God said it would be, in that for the first time after 2,535 years, Israel now was recognized as a nation of the world on May the 14th, 1948. Bone came to bone under the power of God and not by any other type of organization going on, though God used man. But it was by God's power and not by man's ingenuity. Well, my, what a blessing it is a miracle began to perform. And then it says, not only the bone to his bone, verse 8, and when I behold, and lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. A development would be involved. It wasn't just all of a sudden you had the skeleton and then everything popped on. No, it was in a precise order. There was one part of this prophecy in bringing the Jews back to Israel that I literally heard myself, experienced it. Keep your finger there in Ezekiel chapter 37 and turn to Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. Keep your finger in Ezekiel 37. 37. We're going to come back to it. But turn to Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 14. Man, I could hardly contain myself when I experienced this prophecy in my own ears and before my own eyes. I was in Israel attending the Jerusalem Conference on Biblical Prophecy. And literally, when I was out in the streets, I saw and heard this prophecy fulfilled. In verse 14, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Up until that point, when the Jews talked about the power of God, they talked about how that Moses led God's people out of Egypt to the Holy Land. He said, it's going to be a day when they're not going to talk about that anymore. What would they talk about? Notice verse 15. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he has driven them. I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. I literally heard the Jews no longer talking about what Moses did or God did through Moses, but what was happening today in the present of God bringing the Jews from all of the different nations around back to Israel. They were not immigrants, they were returners, and they would tell you that right quick. We're returning to our land, and God's bringing them out of Russia, out of Egypt, out of Yemen, out of Germany, out of Poland, and on they would go. Man, I could hardly contain myself when I would hear them talking about what God was doing now. We're in the present. God's power is in the present. And this prophecy, though told many centuries ago by Ezekiel, as God showed him, today, we are experiencing that prophecy literally being fulfilled. In 1948, when Israel once again recognized as the nation of the world, there were 650,000 Jews in Israel. Today, there are over 6 million Jews in Israel. Now, God didn't say at this time he would bring them all back, but he would bring part of them as they would be developed into a nation. During the tribulation period, after we leave, God will bring them all back just as he took them out of Egypt. He took them out with tribulation, the plagues, and he's going to bring them back with plagues. Right now, there are 13 million Jews in the world. 6 million are in Israel. Another 6 million is here in the United States. The rest of them are scattered out among 108 nations in this world. We are seeing God bringing them back into the land exactly as he prophesied here in this prophecy of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Today, they have built over 500 new towns in Israel. Not buildings, not houses, new towns to put the people that are coming back home. My, what a marvelous place. To see that fully, look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 35. Ezekiel 36 and verse 35. And they shall say, this land was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. And that's exactly what is happening right now in Israel. Israel today, in the past, before 1948, they had to import their food. They had to buy from other nations to have whatever they needed. They could not produce it themselves. Since 1948, now they have over 19,000 industrial firms throughout this little nation. Remember, Israel is about a fourth of the size of Oklahoma. We can't even begin to hold a candlelight to what they're doing. We can't even begin to imagine what God is doing through them, exactly as he said he would do with them. As he brought up the sinews and the flesh, the strength and the unity, they export over millions of dollars every year in textiles, in chemicals, in agricultural products. They produce $90 billion worth of polished diamonds every year out of Israel. They produce 80% of the world's small polished stones out of this little nation. God said, I will bring you back together. I'll put sinews and flesh upon you. And we could go on in all of the things that are happening in Israel today. They have shattered all records as far as what other nations might do in growing, because God is the one who's bringing these bones back together. But there was a problem in this. Of course, let me go on to say the flesh is talking about strength. On July the 5th, 1961, Israel became the first nation of the Middle East and the seventh nation of the world to have nuclear warheads on missiles. Now, they have the most sophisticated weapons of all the nations of the world. They've got better weapons than we've got. Go back and check your records here in America. Who designed what we've got? Jews. God is using them today and bring them back. And they're one of the greatest nations of this world, this little old small piece of land that God promised their forefathers. They're there exactly as it was prophesied in Ezekiel, the Valley of the Dry Bones. They're alive now and doing well, but there's a problem. Look at that again, if you will, in Ezekiel 37 and in verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. This prophecy that seemed like one prophecy has turned into two prophecies. The first one has literally been fulfilled today, the present. And so the second one, for that spiritual breath to come in, they're not the spiritual nation that God wants them to be. They're still rejecting Jesus as Messiah. Now there's some individual Jews and different groups that are beginning to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. And you've got different teachings involved in that. But the nation as a whole is rejecting Jesus as far as the Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. They've got to be that spiritual nation that God wants them to be. There's no breath in them. And so now verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Now, the first part of that prophecy has been fulfilled today in the present. For the second part to be fulfilled is for us to be taken out of the way. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Here we find the explanation of this in concerning Israel, that God has not done away with Israel. Israel is still the nation of God. We are the bride of Christ. We do not replace Israel. He talks about Israel as being the good olive tree. And we of the bride of Christ are of the wild olive tree. And we're that our limbs are cut off of the wild olive tree, grafted into the good olive tree. All of our teachings, all that we have, has its roots in Israel. And what God promised Abraham, And if you ignore that, you're not going to understand what God's doing today, even with us. Now, in order for us to be grafted in, those limbs on the good olive tree had to be cut off. When they rebelled against God and were scattered among the nations, here stood that good olive tree without any limbs. Their limbs are laying on the ground. And then God begins from a wild olive tree, cut off the limbs and grafted in to this good tree. Now, with that in mind, look at Romans 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. It talks about, yes, they were broken off, they were cut off because of their rebellion to God. And we've been grafted in to receive the blessings of their Messiah, our Lord and Savior. Now, let's go down to verse 23. Romans 11, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Ooh. They're going to be grafted back into their own tree. That's that spiritual breath. Have you ever cut a limb off of a tree or see a limb broken in a storm and it lays on the ground? It's still green. It takes a while for it to die out. It looks like the limbs of Israel just died out, but all of a sudden they begin to green up a little bit. The leaves are coming on them. Israel is alive, but they're not in the tree. They're still on the ground. In order for them to be grafted back in, we've got to be taken off. That is the rapture, where we're taken out and the limbs can be grafted. And look at it now in verse 24 of that Romans 11. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel is spiritually blind until we are taken out. And then that second part of that prophecy of Ezekiel, the valley of the dry bones, will begin to happen during that tribulation period. And they're going to be grafted back in. Notice that verse 26. And so all Israel, that's talking about the nation, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Not that there already has come out. There shall come. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back the second time after the rapture, 7 years later, he'll come back. And Israel will not only receive him as their Messiah, but as their Savior. And Israel, the natural branches, will be grafted back into that good tree because we've been taken out. The prophecy of the valley of the dry bones in two part. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, he has told us this is what would happen, and we are experiencing it right now. In this present time, what's going on with Israel and the other nations is not by just because something happened. It's by the design of God. And we need to have our eyes open and realize where we are today. God's in control. I don't have to worry about anything else. Believing him and be prepared for Christ to come. We're in the middle of this prophecy. That second part of that prophecy could begin tonight, where Jesus could come tonight. It might begin tomorrow. It should have begun 10 years ago. But each day that God delayed the return of Jesus was a day of salvation for a precious soul. It was a day for a church to get revived and right with God, that others might be grafted into this beautiful tree that we're in now. And then be taken out, that the natural branches would be grafted back in again. Oh my. I serve a Savior who's not a religion. He's not a theology. He is a person. My Lord, my Savior. He's alive. He paid the price for my sins in the past. He fulfilled all that was there and died on the cross, was buried and raised again the third day. He's ascended to heaven, but I've got news for you. He's coming back for me. As it was brought out this morning so well in the sermon. And he knows your name. He knows your name. What a blessing that's going to be to hear your name called. And there we'll meet our loved ones in the clouds and we'll know their names. And then we'll meet the Lord in the air. We'll cast Satan to this old earth by the blood of our Lord and Savior. And that begins the tribulation period. And 7 years later, we'll come back with Jesus in our resurrected body to reign with him. And we'll talk about that when we get to the future. There's still something else about the present that we need to talk about. We just covered one little part of it, of the valley of the dry bones. The next one is the budding of the fig tree that happens and is happening right now in our presence. Invite someone, bring someone with you. But right now is the day of salvation for you. Right now is the day of salvation for your neighbor, for those you work with. Right now is the day that we need to get ourselves right as a church and get back to the main thing, telling others about Jesus, bringing others to a saving knowledge in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they might be grafted in before it's too late, that they might be born again. This is today, and Jesus is alive and doing exactly what he said he would do right now. Will you obey him? Will you get your life right with him? The decision is yours. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.